fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Happy Easter, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. I want to continue today to talk about the glory of this great season. It's important for us to lay hold of and to live in this season now, the octave of Easter, to walk each day with the church as the church really takes us by the hand and gives to us the good news that has been passed on to us through the apostles that is the absolute life changer for every single one of us. Friends, this Easter season, what we remember about Christ dying and rising, this is the center of the Christian faith. I think people sometimes actually get it wrong and sort of see the church and the Catholic Church as just another religion out there that presents a good morality to everybody, a good way, a set of rules, a set of commandments, virtues on how to live well. And that's really what the church is about, that the church is trying to get people to behave. The church is trying to get people to find a road to happiness in this world. The church does present commandments, the commandments of God, and they're important, and virtue is important. But what precedes it all, and what's at the very core and center of what the church lives, believes, and proclaims, is this historical fact. The church proclaims a truth. The church stands on the testimony of reliable witnesses who present to us the truth that Jesus Christ was crucified, died for our sins, and on the third day he was raised to eternal life. Everything changed in the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Christianity, as I said yesterday, rises and falls on the resurrection from the dead. The church is teaching about the commandments. The church is teaching on virtue. All that the church gives, the great wisdom that the church gives about how to live according to God's purpose and plan, how we can ultimately reach human happiness and human fulfillment, it's all there. But it only matters because Jesus Christ is indeed who he said he was, and that what we all need has been given to us in Jesus. And what is it that we need? We need, friends, to pass from death to life. We need to overcome the power of sin and death that's at work in us. Christianity is about this fact first and foremost. Jesus came to deal with the sin problem, and he came to deal with the death problem, which is the fundamental problem. It goes right to the core of our being. In our heart, deep in your heart, and deep in my heart, is a resistance to God, is a fallen heart, is a heart that's fallen from glory and seeks counterfeit ends and means and goals, and we pursue our own pleasure, we pursue our own interests, rather than first loving God, which is what we were made for, to love him, to abandon ourselves to him, to worship him. This is the way to fulfillment and happiness, and this is what Jesus communicates to us. Here he is hanging on the cross. John calls him in Revelation the faithful witness. Jesus witnessed something to us. He communicated something from the cross. In the face of what looked like apparent defeat, what looked like a tragic end, a man stripped, tortured, killed, seemingly powerless, Jesus has a message for us. This is the road to happiness. Really? That's the road to happiness? What is that road? What's he saying? The road to happiness and human fulfillment is obedience to God, love of God the Father, even unto death. Obedience to God. You are God's child. You're God's creation. We've been alienated from God because of sin. We don't trust God. We don't see God. We don't quite know who God is. We don't know who we are. We can't lay hold of it. And Christ comes to reveal to us like the clear light of day. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. What's the darkness? Ignorance of God, ignorance of our own lives, our purpose, our reason for being, how we can reach fulfillment, why we're here, what does it mean to be human, how can I find happiness, how can I find fulfillment. That's the darkness we're in. And we're constantly walking in the dark, trying to find ways to fulfill ourselves and make ourselves happy. And Jesus says, look at me. What you fear most in this world is death. What you do is you preserve your life. You seek comfort. You want to avoid death. You want to avoid aging. You want to avoid all the difficult ways in which you can be diminished in this world. We run from those things because we want to preserve ourselves. We're in a constant battle against death. The letter of Hebrews tells us that it's the devil's strategy to enslave the human race through the fear of death. This is the big, most frightening thing in this life. And Jesus dies the very death we are most afraid of. Public humiliation, torture, murder, dying a horrible, painful death. And Jesus says, look at me. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. This looks like the road to failure. This looks like your worst nightmare. Jesus said, no. The only place to find happiness, the only place to reach fulfillment, the only place to understand who you are, to make sense out of your life, and to live a life that fulfills your destiny is to be in the will of God, is to be obedient to your Father. Let the Father show you who you are. And so here's Jesus, our brother. Here he is, the firstborn of the new creation. Here he is, the one whom the Father has sent out of love to deal with the sin and the death problem and to give us a new capacity and a new power to live a new way of life and to enter into what now belongs to Jesus Christ, existence beyond death, existence in glory, living with the Father. He's fulfilling, friends, your destiny. You were made to be with the Father, in him, in his family, with him, sharing in his life and in his glory. Jesus makes it possible. What is in Christ, the Father has destined for you to share. The inheritance that belongs to the beloved Son of God, eternal glory, is now given to you. If, Jesus said, if you hear his word, if you believe in him, if you repent of your sin, if you enter the water of baptism and you surrender your life fully to him, that's where it begins. That's how we're united to him and sharing in what belongs to him. So what we're seeing in this week, this Easter week that we're celebrating, is at Mass each day, is readings from the Acts of the Apostles, the proclamation by the apostles of what Jesus has done. They're proclaiming, and the church is giving us the beginning, the core, what the whole church, the whole edifice, the whole life of the church is built on. It's built on the truth that Jesus Christ has died and rose again. For example, yesterday's reading, Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Here we're talking about the Pentecost story. And Peter stood up. Here's just one paragraph from the reading. You who are children of Israel, Peter's preaching to representatives from the 12 tribes of Israel that were gathered in Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost. Peter said, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs. How does God commend Jesus to us? How did he commend it to the people? He worked great signs and wonders through Jesus. Signs and wonders that nobody else could perform. Jesus spoke to dead people and they rose from the dead, for example, by his command. He said, signs and wonders which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. So Peter's appealing to many people present there who actually saw Jesus perform these deeds. This man, that is Jesus, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God. Now, Peter's helping them understand Jesus' crucifixion was not some tragic loss or something that was outside the will of God, and Jesus is just another failed prophet, a kind of a man-made failed prophet. He said, no, he was delivered up. Delivered what? Into the hands of Pilate, into the hands of the religious leaders. He was raised up on the cross. This was God's plan. And it was God's plan from all eternity in the foreknowledge of God. And then Peter said, you killed him using lawless men to crucify him. So he's talking to fellow Jews and to some of the religious leaders. And he said, you killed him along with Pilate. You used Pilate to crucify him. That was your purpose to come against him. But God raised him up. Peter's saying, friends, this is the key. This is the witness of the apostles. That was your plan, to crucify him. But we're here to tell you that God raised him up. He released him from the throes of death because it was impossible for him to be held by death. That's the essence of the preaching of the apostles right there. Death could not hold him down. There was a life in Christ, the life of the Spirit, the divine life united to human flesh that was stronger than death itself. Until Christ came, no one could conquer death. Death was the biggest thing out there. No one could escape death, no matter how rich, powerful, influential, you name it. You couldn't escape it. Jesus was stronger than death. He entered into death, and the light that was in him, he shed into the darkness of death, and he broke its power over the human race in his own flesh. Death could not hold him down. So if you are in Jesus Christ, death cannot hold you down. This is what we're trying to tell the whole world. The church is not about condemning people. It's not about making life miserable for people. It's going forth and saying, friends, look, this is what happened in Jesus Christ. And what this means is that Jesus, everything he said about us, about the world, the flesh, and the devil, everything he said about the destiny of the human race, about judgment, it's all true. So that means his diagnosis of us, that is, we are sin sick, and that every one of us needs now to repent, to change our lives, and to be conformed to Christ, to come into relationship with Jesus, to accept Jesus's understanding of reality, which includes, as I said, his diagnosis of our condition and the need that we each have to repent. There's something in us that wants to say, no, I don't, I'm actually a good person. I don't need to repent. I don't need to change. Look, the truth is, the truth about you is revealed on the cross of Christ. The sin that's in you is the very sin that crucified Jesus Christ, its power. Your heart is no different than the heart of Pilate, the heart of the religious leaders that crucified him. Look, everybody who's lived, other than Our Lady, has sinned, and everybody has contributed to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We're all sin sick, and we all need the power of the cross to be applied to our lives so that the power of death, the power of sin, can be broken in us. Only one person can do that. That's Jesus, who broke the back of the devil, of sin, and of death. Friends, this life is short. You're going to be dead soon. Even if you live another 100 years, you're going to be dead soon. Life is short. The whole meaning of your life is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. You're made for God. You're made by God. You're not an accident. You were made on purpose. You were made to live for the praise and glory of God. That's the meaning of your life. And how do you do that? By loving God, by obeying his commands, by running after him, and running after his Son, and living the life that Christ has called us to live in and through his Holy Spirit. That's what this good news of Easter is all about. I'm going to continue to talk about it as the week goes on, but let it penetrate your heart so you know who you are. You can live in the freedom that belongs to Christ. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.